Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And hello. Welcome back to another episode of She's In A Pod.
Hello, hello,
yes,
hello.
Yes, the three of us are here today. I feel like, when's the last time we... Well, okay, this is episode two, right? Of season five. So we hope you guys enjoyed the last episode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're going to go straight into it. Mm-hmm. We have some special guests here today and we're going to get them to introduce themselves. So do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Hey guys, it's your girl Kel Aubrey from No Shade Pod.
And it is Martin Royalty from No Shade Pod as well. And TDA.
Yes. TDA. If you guys know what TDA is, it's the day after. Yes. Which you guys, we'll do all their socials all and that stuff at, the end of the episode. But if you guys don't know, get to know. We wanted to have that one today because we are, also, we kind of like are, I guess we're like weirdly sister podcasts.
We're distributors, so this is the first time that we've been in the Wizard family. So yeah, this is the first time that we've been in the Wizard family. So we want to get straight into it.
We'll ask you guys a bit more about yourselves individually throughout the episode. But yeah, we just want to kind of
get into it.
It's going to be a bit of a juicy one, a bit of a on and off one.
Yeah. So I'll start. It's funny because, I mean, we've always seen you guys, but how did you actually start? What made you want to start the podcast? Was it like one person's idea? And then, just us. How did you actually start in Shade? Has it always been called No Shade as well?
It's always been called No Shade. Okay, so basically how it started was I went on a pod, like called Triggered Podcast. They're no longer a podcast.
Okay.
And I was like, actually, this is quite fun. Like, you know, you have a mic, you just talk about things and stuff. And I felt like it was kind of almost like a group chat, but like real life kind of thing. So then me and Esther were really close at uni, so we went to Kent together.
Okay.
And I was like to her, oh my gosh, like we should do a pod. Because we used to sit in library and like just chat about random things. Like, she'll be telling me about how Nicki Minaj's bum's real.
Girl, did you really believe that?
She really did.
Did you really believe that?
It was real.
I happened to do like a tour. I am no longer a bum. I'm unsubscribed.
Gosh.
I'm even on
her behaviour is unacceptable sometimes. It's too much.
It's
a lot.
She's doing a lot right now.
She's giving me agbaya.
At her age as well. She used to be doing that.
Literally, like, she's trying so hard to be the young.
It's a lot.
I can no longer subscribe to that. I'm officially unfollowed on every platform.
Wow.
So, yes, we had loads of discussions and stuff in the library. And I was like, oh my gosh, we should do a podcast.
Yeah.
And then it came to, like, thinking about the name.
Yeah.
And literally, like, we had so many random names. I think we had like Chardonnay and something.
Yeah, because we got Chardonnay.
Yeah,
like where's that from? Nickname.
Really?
No way.
Because we really liked like rosé at the time.
Okay.
And now we're like more like champagne based. We really liked wine.
Yeah.
So before maybe something to do with our. That kind of our interest in what we like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just didn't stick.
Yeah.
So how did you get to know Shade, that name? How did
you decide
that?
So we used to watch, well, we still do watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. And we used to call ourselves Frickin' Frack.
Yeah.
Oh, like Portia and Phaedra.
And I think somehow randomly, it was like No Shade, I think, randomly. And it was like, oh my gosh, this sticks. Like,
Yeah,
No Shade. Yeah. And then it just went from there. And then I remember our first episode was in my uni accommodation, yeah.
Yeah.
And we just had my laptop and we were just speaking into the into the laptop.
Oh wow. And then it's always humble beginnings,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And then from then to
5.5 years later. Yeah.
5.5? Wow.
Yeah. Started in 2017.
Wow. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
5.5 years. What has kept you guys going? That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can answer that.
Because you know what I was going to say, actually? It was interesting because I can imagine the time you guys started, podcasting wasn't that popular.
No. It actually
wasn't. And now it's...
Now it's like...
So, how have you guys kept going with now so many people just...
Yeah. I feel like we've kept each other going, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think that obviously, like, when we started it, it was something fun. I think it was fun. It still is fun, which I'm carrying on doing it. But I think... Over the time, like we've, because our pod really explores as well us kind of adulting, coming to our adulthood.
Yes, yes.
So over time, like we've gone through different things. So I can say that there's times when I've gone through something and it's like a queer then is kind of, like I'm kind of leaning on her to keep this going. And there's times she's gone through and like leaning on me. So I think, I really just think we've actually kept each other going. I think it's something that we still enjoy doing. So I think that if it was ever to end, it would be at a point where we did no longer enjoy it. And I think that is a health, that would be a healthy way to
stop. I like that. Did you ever sort of think it would become this big? Because you guys are quite popular and obviously I listen to you guys a lot. But did you ever
I'm being and I'm not even trying to be like, oh, like trying to be humble and everything.
No,
like,
Dennis,
genuinely,
I honestly don't see that way.
Yeah, I honestly think that we're still growing, we're still getting to you know, be at the heights of like our fellow podcasters as well. But I don't know.
I didn't, because I'll be honest, when we started this, I was doing it for fun.
I hear it.
So I never really came in with like a marketing strategy and all that. Kind of, I think that's something that I've had to learn like
along
over
the
time,
way.
Along the journey.
But even then, I found I wanted to do this because it was fun. But I think over time, when podcasting became more popular, people start entering the industry with like different
agendas,
strategies.
And the way I like to live, I don't like stress. I've had to get myself to a place where for me, this is still fun.
So I said
that if it stopped being fun for me,
that's
I
would
have to tap out. Do you get what I mean? Every time I see, like when I see our stats and whatever, I'm very humbled by the fact that people actually listen to us every week. When we don't, because you know sometimes people don't always let you know that they listen to you.
Yeah.
So it's the weeks we don't release before, like, oh, where's the episode?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so you listen.
It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling.
They were like silent supporters.
Or like
if someone says quotes something that you said in one of your episodes.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, so
sometimes I forgot that I said that.
Exactly.
I'm like, did I say that again?
Exactly. I think just that, but I'll be honest, I think even with that, I'm very aware of obviously what the industry is like and blah, blah. So for me, my way of keeping myself grounded is really not comparing anybody else. As much as I don't think that we're like the top of blah, blah, I know that where we need to have influence, we have the influence there.
Absolutely.
And so it's really living in that moment. It's enjoying what it is that we've created so far and just looking forward to.
And the fact that people still come back every week and listen, I think that's what like keeps me going in the sense that like
that's commitment, man.
I was thinking the other day, like when we miss an episode, I feel so bad. I'm thinking,
really?
People are thinking, oh, these girls out here living their life, getting on the pod and stuff. So
I've had to I'm trying to unlearn that. But when we don't record an episode, I feel bad. I'm like,
shows your
respectfully.
Not respectfully.
I can't carry this on. I can't take that emotional burden on.
That's not your problem.
It's not healthy, in my opinion. I think this is how in this society we work, and people never take time to rest. Don't take time to appreciate what you've done so far, because you're always looking forward to the next thing, to the next thing. So I like to live my life where I take step backs when I
like, that's really good. I think you guys mentioned it on, I don't know if it's the last episode, the one beforehand, where you spoke about having to take a break. I think you guys mentioned that episode. And actually taking ownership of that. I think you sort of shared that you weren't feeling great.
I was not there. I'll be honest, I had a very emotional week. And I remember, because we weren't gonna be in the studio that week, we're gonna do remotely. And I'm actually a queer, because usually like I'm someone who, as much as I know a queer is there for me, I can talk about anything, but the way I am, which is something I'm unlearning, I tend to just keep things to myself anyway. I'm not really a big sharer like that. But I was just like, I could really firm this, because I won't lie, there's times I've been in the studio where I'm having like, I'm going through it in life. And I'll come on the mic and it's not like I'm lying,
But you have to pretend you're at work.
You have to kind of like separate.
To be fair, sometimes it is kind of like an escape for me where it's weird. Like when the mic comes on, I'm just with my friend. I forget what I'm going through.
Yes.
When the mic comes on, I'm like saying bye to her and Brent. I'm like, damn, I gotta go face this back again.
It's like a escapism, but in a good way. Do you know what I mean?
But honestly, that week it was just like, I just want to feel, because this again, the phase I'm in, where I just want to feel what I'm feeling. And I was like, Ekuya, I can't lie to you. Like, I don't have it in me to talk. Like at all.
And a lot of guilt comes with that. Cause like in a world where everyone's like, you have to be consistent and you have to be motivated. Even when you don't feel like it, you should do it and push it. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but that's very toxic.
Because
it doesn't allow us to just say, you know, listen to ourselves, listen to our bodies, our mental health, our physical health, and be like, okay, do you know what? Yeah. It's okay for me to take a break in this moment. It doesn't mean I'm quitting, it just means I need to be refueled. Yeah, exactly. To refuel yourself. Exactly, so I get it. How are you guys not coping, but how do you guys balance the podcast with other creative projects that you do?
Yes.
Is that something that you feel like sometimes it clashes? Do you feel like it's like the podcast has been, because I can imagine you guys doing the podcast has opened a lot of doors for you in terms of like opportunities creatively and stuff like that. Yeah. But how do you balance that if you do balance it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a thing where I think for me, and I'm still trying to find that balance where like you've got life stuff going on, but then you've got a podcast as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think sometimes one has got to give. And I think 100%. It's just kind of just deciding, okay, this week, you know what? I can't record this week. And it's just, there's just going to be no episode. Yeah. I've got life going on kind of thing. Yeah. So I think it's just, I think it's just taking it each day as it comes, taking each week as it comes. And it's just trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
And Esther, you do the day after. So
every single day.
I remember I was like, how did she do that?
Yeah, no,
that's
a lot. But you do it every day.
It's an everyday show. It's a daily show. I did not know that. I need to have a sleeping bag over here. I'm never joking. There should be a room somewhere in the space, honestly.
Okay.
So our new start time is at 9, but sometimes it's 8 o'clock just because I'm going to office and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
every single day.
Yeah. But I think the way I am, I'm just typically, I don't know if it's that the most healthy, but it's working out so far, so I'll say it's healthy enough. But like, I just get stuff done.
Yeah.
But then there are moments where like I like being disciplined is one of my like biggest things that I work on in life.
Yeah.
So I kind of get myself in a routine. So when it comes to like every day, because I still work my full-time job as well, like I'm just in a routine in terms of what I'm going to do. So I live by a routine, basically. But I think also, like Akui was saying, sometimes it is a moment of someone's got to give. Do you know what I mean? I've got to weigh things. I can't do everything. Do you get what I mean? And because I'm the queen of napping, I'm the queen of rest.
Girl.
One thing about me, I'm gonna nap.
Yeah, I was just saying, that is my life.
So, do you know what I mean? So I have to like, I think it's just really about weighing stuff up. And if, like, I know where I want to get to in life, which is why I work hard. You know? Yeah. I know where I want to get to. I know what career I want to have, all that kind of stuff. So certain things have to happen. But I think here and there, I'm not opposed to, you know, I can't do this. At least I have to listen to my body.
Yeah.
My worst fear is me just doing these things, and then one time I just collapse.
Now I'm out for longer.
All I had to do was just rest for one day. Now I'm out for like 2 weeks or something. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's really just weighing things up. I think also for me, I know what keeps me going, even when I'm really, really tired, is just knowing what it is that I want.
Yeah.
And I'm very appreciative and very understanding that not everyone has opportunities.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to waste it. Like, one of my biggest fears here is me dying and God tells me what it is I could have been.
I could have done.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is why I'm trying to work on my procrastination too.
Yeah.
I think compromise as well is really important. I think there's certain days, maybe I can't make certain days. Let's move another day. Certain days where Esther can't do it. And I'm like, okay, we're going to move things around. Yeah. So I think it's just compromising, because the older you get, the more like stuff you've got to do. Even friends, like, your schedules never align. Like, you're having to book 1 month in advance.
I have dates for January, February. We talk about things. It's like, we're not going to see each other this year. It's okay. Let's just.
Yeah, it's crazy. At one point, I was thinking maybe we need to even sync our calendars or something. I have said a couple times to my friends so I could see if they're busy or what they're doing.
Sometimes
I think, okay, in the long run, you have to compromise. Like, if you want to get shit done, if you want to go far, you have to compromise on certain things.
Interesting.
Speaking of getting old, I mean, are you both in your late 20s. Yeah. Kind of like us.
I'm 27.
Yeah.
I'm 27 as well. So
I'm 27 as well. I used to call, obviously I had like aunties and stuff in their 30s. And when I
call them
auntie. Like, yeah, but when I think about how much like I looked at them, like you have all the aunties.
Exactly.
I have a niece and nephew now.
They're younger ones, I actually feel like they treat people around that age 30 like
I don't think I've deeped the fact that I'm 27, 28, I haven't deeped, I don't know, because I haven't deeped and I don't think she has as well. So it's just like we're both just like
I really look at my mum like that, because I was saying how earlier how sometimes like I can't believe, okay, I don't know if it's just me, but can you believe like you can't believe you're you?
Yeah, I hear it. Sometimes I have an out of body experience, and I'm looking at me like this is you. I hear it. Sometimes I'm like,
people actually call me Shade. Is that my name?
Yeah.
Shade.
And then I start listening to my voice. I'm like, sometimes my mum as well, I'm like to my mum,
yeah,
I'm like, how do you have like kids?
Yeah, I hear it.
Or when it's only my birthdays, I'm like, how do you feel? You got a 34-year-old. Because for me, like, I remember being in school just the other day. I can tell you probably if you asked me like a random day, I could probably tell you why I had like certain periods in school. I can remember stuff, and I'm like, it's weird because I'm actually getting older.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be such a serious mother.
And we're gonna be the aunties that we look up to.
But then also, it makes you realize how much our parents were doing at our age.
Yes.
But do you feel like we're not doing this? Do you feel like we're doing the same or we're doing less? Because I'm always conflicted. But then their struggles were kind of different.
I feel like it's different. I feel like they had marriage and kids a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So like in terms of like the balance of family life and work life, they were dealing with that. But I'm not gonna lie to you. One of the things I'm grateful for is that I'm not gonna lie, I don't have kids. I cannot look. I can barely look after myself. I can barely look after myself. By the time my mom was 27, she had four children. By the time she was 27, I'm like, how did you even? How did you even get dressed in the morning? Just what I'm saying.
End of every day, I'm hungry, right? And I'm tired, and I have to pick one. Do I eat or sleep? I always sleep. And I'm like, I catch breakfast.
And then you wake up so hungry.
But I'm always like, if I had a kid,
you have no choice.
I'm gonna give the child both.
And kids are getting more and more demanding and expensive.
But it's a different type of technology.
If you have an iPad toddler, I see, has an iPad to shut them up.
I'll say to the girls, one of the most stressful things about adulting, especially if you like live in a house where like you're not necessarily living with family or you're like flat, is figuring out what you want for dinner and then having to make it.
That is very bad to me.
Why do I have to figure out what I have to eat and then I have to make it?
I did that. I'm like, as an adult, like you actually have to start, you have to figure out what you're gonna eat every single day.
I'm gonna get married, right?
And I'm like, so you're telling me every day we have to figure out what we're
going to
do?
It's a rip-off. Yeah.
I used to get so angry at my mum if there wasn't something.
And now you get it, right?
And now you can relate. There's no food in the house. I'm going to be hungry today. But now I get it.
I basically can't cook every single day. It's tiring.
I remember one time, my mum, I think on my way to school, I saw she'd taken out chicken, blah, blah, blah. I asked her what she's going to cook, like jollof. I said, that's great. So the whole day at school, like, I'm having a tough day at school. I'm like, you know, it's fine. I get home, she hadn't cooked it. The world was bawling yet.
That was the breaking point of my day.
I get it. And even like, I even saw a tweet that someone was saying how, do you know what? I get why our parents were so angry you didn't take the meat out of the freezer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, 100%.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You've been at home all day.
You had one job. One job.
And then you come back now, and then now they've actually got to sit down and figure out what everyone's going to eat because you messed up. I get it.
Imagine having like more than one child. Oh, I don't eat this. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I can't. Because you're all getting the same thing. You're all getting simple as.
Especially when your kids come back from school one day, like, oh, mommy, like, I think I'm going to stop eating meat or.
Especially in this day, they're just vegan and all this stuff. Please.
I'm letting me cook your own food then.
Please.
I mean, I would lie to you. I'd say that's a corn burger. That's a corn burger. Go ahead. But we ain't chicken.
No, and no shade to vegans because I know y'all like to tussle, but I just can't imagine having my child coming to me when I don't eat meat, I don't eat fish. What?
I know.
Unless you're allergic.
Yeah,
that's different.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
man,
I'm
pissing
down.
It's so funny because my sister lives in Ghana, so she was telling me how she can't, you know, like when I used to have packed lunch at primary school and stuff.
Yeah.
Simple Lunchables sandwich. That's how your mom sent him to school.
Yeah.
My sister was telling me how because it's in Ghana, the kids, if she sends her kids to school with sandwiches, she get cut off.
No, you have
to send them with rice.
Proper food.
And I said to myself, No. She gets somebody every morning and cooks them.
Yeah, that's a normal.
She'll give them leftover, but normally she'll cook from scratch.
What's the sandwich? When I went to school in Nigeria, you have proper meals.
Yeah, especially at lunch.
It doesn't know what you do. You don't want to stay in class.
Because over there, I know like in Nigeria, they mock, like if you're doing bread and
egg and stuff,
that's child's play. What's that?
That's too heavy.
There's no energy for that.
Because I'm sleeping for the rest of the day. Yeah. If I'm having something big in the morning, that's it. I'm productive. Wait. I'm unproductive.
I can't do all that.
But yeah, so you guys are in your late 20s.
Yeah.
So late 20s, is it what you expected? I know we spoke about it.
It's a scam.
My late 20s, I'm going to lie to you, I would have at least had a kid by now. I would have been married in my nice house with my man, doing up, you know.
What age did you say?
I thought by 25, guys.
Everyone thought 25.
I feel like a lot of us, I'm not going to lie, my parents will not be real with us about what.
I don't even know if my parents should. I don't know. I think maybe at the. When I was younger, the people who were 25...
Had all of that.
Yeah. So I just assumed that automatically we all are enrolled into...
And this is the way of life.
Yeah. 25, marriage, kids, blah, blah, blah.
But the gag is...
But I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm learning about myself more and more every day. Yeah. And I think I'm growing. And like, the woman that I'm becoming, the man that meets me... now will be happy that I am who I am now rather than who I was a couple years later. So I just think God's time is the best.
That's serious.
I can't come and kill myself.
That's
right. Yeah, I'm actually the same. How I thought I would be now, I guess when you look at it from younger eyes, like I didn't think as extensively as I do, I guess now.
Yeah, you're just not emotionally mature enough to grasp what adulthood is about.
I didn't think like the struggles would come with. I didn't think like even with career, there'll be obstacles even within your career. Like I didn't think of any of those things. Yeah. So for me, I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna be a lawyer. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Blah blah blah. Mm. And I remember like I always say like, that one of the biggest turning points in my life was the day I woke up, just even like after I graduated and everything, and I was like, I don't want to be a lawyer anymore.
Mm.
But everything about my life, like from when I was younger, was about being a lawyer. And then I was like, okay, I'm in a state of confusion now. So I never, the way I'm living today, I never saw that. Even me having a podcast, never saw that coming. But for me, stuff like that makes me excited.
Yeah.
Because I think that like the woman, again, the woman I continue to grow into, like I absolutely adore her. Do you get me? She's not perfect. She still has a lot of work to do. But this journey is just so worth it for me. So when I think of how I am today and how I never ever saw this coming, I'm excited for what the future holds.
There's still more surprises.
I embrace the good, the bad, the losses, the blessings, everything. Because I think it all counts to who I'm going to be. But this is definitely where I thought it was going to be. I just thought it would be like, but you can ask. The most important thing for me was like, looking forward to wearing heels and being able to go out whenever
I don't even like wearing heels anymore. My feet are tired.
Listen, when I was younger,
wearing
Like, you know, back in the day, it was like Brazilian, Peruvian. I was like, wearing the finest of the finest wigs. Now I'm just like, you know, when it's at your disposable, it's just like, it's nothing.
It's part of life.
But back then,
and everything costs money now. Everything costs.
Yeah, I didn't think about
this freedom.
Money
exactly, this freedom that we all desperately wanted. The freedom comes with money.
Yeah,
that's it.
When you go out, you're not spending anything less than 50, 60 pounds.
That's even.
So if you like,
you just step outside the door.
Exactly. Yeah.
Money's gone.
Enjoy the freedom every weekend. Your bank account will also be.
Honestly, because
we're reminding
when I think about it, honestly, that's exactly it. Because when I think about my little sister as well, that she's like 12, and I'm thinking like, my friend, enjoy life.
But then. But you know what? Because I say it to my nieces, when my niece is 14 going on 15, and she was, I was 15 when she was born. I was so young. And like, as I've seen her get older now, I'm like, girl, enjoy. But because again, because they're not at the emotion, they're not emotionally mature enough to understand it. They're not going to get it until they get there. That's just, that's just it. Exactly. We didn't listen.
So like
literally, secondary school was the best days of my life. Like literally, I had so much. And when I look back, I'm just like, Bianca, this is the ghetto. This is the ghetto. It really
when
is the ghetto.
When our joints weren't stiff, when we were, you know, we couldn't do anything. We were
I didn't know
free.
That our bodies were going to like slow down so early. I didn't realise that.
That shocked me. I'm not even joking. When I hit 26, I think that is when I was like, okay, there's a whole, like, it's like aunties coming to auntie bodies trying to form.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. She's trying to tussle with me.
You're fighting it.
Yeah, and then my skin was acting. I saw what's going on.
Oh,
insane.
It's a second puberty. And no one talks about that. No one talks about that.
It's not spoken about more, you know. It's a whole second puberty.
I was so shocked.
I don't really try to fight you off. Like, when I was slowly put on weight, because I used to be skinny. Like, I was skinny to the point where sometimes I look at pictures of myself. I was like, Bianca, babe, you looked unwell. Like, no, I was I looked, listen, I was a stick, right? But obviously, I was I used to be in that slim for so long that when I started to put away, I was like, no. And I was still ordering clothes in the size that I was. I was ordering size eight. I said, why isn't this fitting me? I said, Bianca, at one point I said, Bianca, babe, you have to let it go. You have to stop. And I finally started to order clothes at my size. Because it's hard. It's hard to shift because it's also a sign that you're getting older and you don't really want to really
get older. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, this is meant to be happening at 40 when I've had kids.
Why is it happening so early? Because that's what I'm saying, and then you've got to go open the menopause. Women don't have it easy. It is a lot. How have you guys managed to, so we're talking about 20s friendships, let's talk about like relationships and friendships even in your 20s. How have you, because I always say, and I like growing up, right, you have friends, and you guys have been friends from university, which I think is, I always see it as like a marriage, right? Like, you know, I see it as in like, you know, when you get married, right, you get married to someone or you're in a relationship with someone. And that's why I love stories of like high school sweethearts, because you guys at that point are not very emotionally mature. And the fact that you were able to stay together once life is coming and you're both changing, you're not the same people, and they're still being able to connect. I find that so amazing that you're working on those things and stuff like that. So how have you guys navigated friendship? Because when you get into school, your friends are kind of chosen for you, right? They're in your class, the university and all that kind of stuff. And then as you get older, you have these people around you, but you realize, okay, they're a bit different to me now. And maybe certain morals and values are not the same. And how have you navigated through that? And you could even use your own friendship as an example if you want to.
I think for me, I think when I was younger, you know, when you're younger, like, one of the most important things at that time when you don't have much responsibilities is your friends.
Yeah, of course.
But I think
it's life or death.
Honestly,
if you fall out with someone, it was like, oh my gosh, it was like a heartbreak.
Very serious. So I think that from when I was younger to like now, I feel like I have less. Okay, hear me out when I say this here. But I feel like I've placed less value on friendships.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you get it? I hear it. I think when I was younger, it's like, oh, friend, this.
Yeah.
But then I think even like through, I think I would even say it's after, I think it was third year, I would say that I started to have a different outlook on friendships. So I've always been that friend who's like, shows up for people and always there. And again, remember I said how I'm not really someone who likes to share whatever.
Yeah.
So there was times I was going through stuff. And I think sometimes when life is life in and you're going through stuff, I think of like the bigger, Like in this big issue that I'm going through, does this little thing here matter? So when you're having arguments with friends over silly things, it's like when I'm dealing with something big, like for example, like losing my grandparents, they raised me. Mm. Oh. I'm thinking, first of all, this argument I have, this like this is the last thing.
Yeah,
it's not relevant. You get me?
Exactly.
So I think that's how I've started to go. And I think grandma was saying how even when I was younger, like one of the things I looked forward to was being able to go out. I'm a homebody. I like to be outside. I like to be inside my house.
I saw yesterday watching The Best Man. That's one of my favorite films, by the way. One of my favorite films of all time. I was like, girl.
But you know what? These are the things I bring with peace. Like for me, joy and peace. And I'm at my best here when I'm just in my house. And I'm watching a sitcom that I've watched like for the 100th time.
That's me with The Office.
And I know all the words. The Office, with Big Bang Theory,
Modern Family. Girl!
Yes.
I
love it,
I've watched these things a thousand times. But for me,
these are my bedtime shows.
Honestly, so I think for me, like, I think with friendships, I know who my friends are. I'm open to like making new friends. I know that like, we've spoken like here and there. So like, I'm open to making new friends. But I think I'm so big now on the qualities that people bring in my life.
And the value.
The value. So I know how I am as a person. So if I don't have time for any form of drama, like, I also don't have time for negative people. That in life things happens and you can't control it, right? And that's fine. But you know there's some people with certain mindsets where you're consistently negative.
Yes.
You bring drama.
They're just a pessimist.
Yeah. It starts to infiltrate into your own life.
I'm a big empath, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that God has given me this gift where I'm able to, I can recognize like emotions of people.
Yeah.
Mm. So say for, I mean, sometimes a bit dramatic, but what am I question, God? So say for example, I'm out in public. It's a gift. I accept it.
Yeah.
So sometimes I can be out in public. I can see someone who just doesn't look, like you might look and just think the person is just normal.
But
when I see them, my heart hurts because I feel like their soul is like sad. So I could have like breakdowns on account of someone else's emotions who I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very sensitive to that. So growing up now, I'm so protective.
You have to protect yourself. Yeah.
I have to be. Do you get what I mean? I have to be. And like you can tell me something that burdens you and it burdens me as much as it burdens you. And so I'm sorry, but respectfully, I can't share that with everybody. I'm so particular about my friendships. And I think just the older you get, like, I also understand that now, because I think when I was younger, you had like a clique.
Of course.
I have different friends that serve different purposes in my life. And that's great. Do you know what I mean? So I think I'm just very more, I think I'm very intentional about my friendships, the same 100%. Way I am in relationships. But it's for me, friendship is not the be and end all.
And I think that's it. Because when we were younger, I think also we based who we were on the people that are around us. And I think that's what it is. As we get older, I hear what you're saying, like in terms of you do value your friendships, but like you don't put so much value in it that it's affecting who you are as a person and it's affecting what you do, what you don't do, all that kind of stuff. Like you are your own person basically. And when we're younger, we're not our own people. Let's be honest, we're not our own people.
Like people say to me like, oh, let's do this. Because even for the longest time, I thought I was an extrovert. But that's because I was around people who were extroverts. Yeah. So I believe that.
Yeah.
And I found that I was drained. Like, word tomorrow, today drained me. Like, I was so draining. And then I had to sit down and be like, girl, you don't enjoy this. And it's like, because you're an introvert, do you get me? So that's just where I'm at with it. You can't define yourself through other people's eyes.
No, I hear it. And what about like expectations that you've had for yourself? Because you know, you were saying that, you know, by 25 and this, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in terms of like personal goals, how like, because I think for me personally, and I don't know if anyone else can testify to this, you know, you get to your 20s and then you realize, okay, this is real life. This is the way life's gonna go. So let's be realistic now about what we want and how we're gonna get it and how long it may take to get it.
Yeah.
How much grace do you have for yourself in moments where you're like, no, I wanted this by 25? With like having just life and being realistic, how much grace do you have for yourself? Is it a difficult?
I'll be so real. I do not give myself enough grace. I'm so hard on myself.
Yeah.
But then I've come to realize that like my journey is different to everyone else.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it just takes a little bit longer than everybody else kind of thing. So I think I've just come to realize that, you know what, this is my journey and this is sometimes like the path that you're on, and it's okay to be on this path, and it's okay for it to take longer sometimes, because if you want something done well, if you want to be good at something, you have to kind of master. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes I just think, do you know what, it's okay, it just takes a bit longer. But I think sometimes at the same time it's conflicting, because I'm like, okay, but like you've done this and it didn't work out. Okay, well, like what's next? Or like, why is this not working? Why is this not sticking?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you just have to learn. I think my mom also keeps me grounded.
Okay.
But she'll just be like, okay, it didn't work out. Try again.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time I'm just like, no, but I'm tired of trying. I don't want to give you trying. I don't want to. She's like, okay, you, well, this is life.
Yeah.
You're always gonna, you're not always gonna get something in the first go. You just have to keep
most
going.
Most of the time you won't.
So, but I think when you look on the outward, it just seems that like everybody's tried something and it just like it feels works like, out.
But do you know what it is though? I think that's
failures.
Just
exactly.
Like they only post when they finally succeeded that thing. That's when they say so. Like someone can post buying a home and you don't know that like they tried three times and failed. Do you know what I'm saying? It could have been it could have been so long. So it's 100%. So do you deal with when you're, I guess, like in those moments where you're, just evaluating failures? Do you? Does comparison come into it at all? Do you like when you're thinking, oh, I should have done better, or I should have worked out? Are you thinking, well, because it worked out for this person, or as far as I know, it worked out for this person?
I think I'd be lying if I said I don't compare.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's all around. Like that's what you see kind of thing. Like when you go on social media, when you go out, like it's just all around. So I think I'd be lying if I said I don't compare, but I think you have to learn to get to a point where you don't let a point where like you can't function because that's not healthy. Do you know what I mean? So I think you just gotta go be like, okay, I'm happy for this person. It worked out. Okay, I'm gonna keep pushing. Or it can be like a motivator as well. Like, it worked out for this person. And that's I'm really like, I love when people are very real on social media.
Yes,
when
they be
like,
okay,
I don't know, like with the housing, for example, I bought a house, but guess what? I got first application failed. I love seeing stories like that. Cause I'm thinking, okay, you had a journey. You didn't just try and it just, you know what I mean?
It just worked.
Yeah. So I love people who are very real about things, but I think you just have to be real with yourself and just understand that like your journey is different and it's okay to have a different journey. Like we're not all going to have a linear race. We're not all going to,
and no one has linear, I think.
How boring the world would be.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be like robots.
We're all heading to the same destination.
That's it.
And I think that's very important. Not all of us are heading to the same place. Yeah. Everybody's heading to here, north, south, east.
Yeah.
And I think you got to remember that you might be thinking, you had plans to go to south, but
God said
north,
no.
It's the same way when you talk about the whole lawyer thing. Like, you had plans to be a lawyer, but that's not
God said, no, you're going to talk.
You also have to, like, go back to God and be like, okay, God, like, what do you want?
And that's another thing as well that, like, we don't learn when we're younger. It's like, I feel like we're taught, okay, you've picked something and then that's what you are. We're not taught that we are multifaceted human beings. Like there are several things that life is very seasonal. Yeah. Like for one season of life, you might be doing, you know, you could be a lawyer and the next season God's like, okay, now I want you to work for the community.
Exactly.
And now I want you to, it's like never, it's this thing of being attached. Yeah. Never being attached to one thing so much that you can't move on when it's time to move on. There's a time to move on.
I feel like we're kind of socialized that way. Like I know that with like an African background, it's always like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life?
Like from young,
they start drilling that into,
like, you don't have the opportunity to be like, oh, I'm going to figure it out, or I'm going to do this for now.
Yeah.
And then move to the next things. Like you always feel that pressure of, you've done this.
I know.
When are you going to stick to something?
Yeah.
How do you want to stick to anything? That's boring.
It, you know?
There's so many of us rush through to uni and you get there and you hate it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when my little sister was like, she doesn't want to go to uni. It was the talk of the
end of the world.
You don't want to go because everybody is meant to be like primary school, secondary school, college, uni,
and then marriage.
Even now it's like, you know, you need to hurry up and get married. You know, I want you to have grandkids. I'm gonna have grandkids. But you were telling me to stay away from these men.
Where do we go now?
I
think she saw a TikTok yesterday. She was crying. Yeah, in front of the camera. And she's like, when you're from a cultural background, like African or Black, whatever, and you're going for your first heartbreak, but you're not allowed to have a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they came, she started dancing.
I used to cry
in the shower, guys. Like, I used to cry in the shower. And I come back out, I'm like,
I had a boyfriend because of Caribbean, so it wasn't university marriage, all that kind of stuff. It was like I had a boyfriend come over to the house, and I was like 2019.
Oh my god, household.
I don't want to dream of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to dream about it because that's a nightmare. I don't want to dream about it because you know what I'm saying. Even when I get married, when I get pregnant, I'm going to be shy. I'm going to be like,
Yeah.
When they were lipsing up at the altar.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, I could never do it.
How did you do your first kiss on your wedding?
I'm not gonna lie, your first kiss was very pretty. It was very pretty.
Her dad's a pastor as well. Do you feel shy that like your parents know that you're actually having sex? Like, I don't feel shy about that.
What I do feel shy about is like when Sam comes to my, well, my parents' house now, and he stays over.
And you're sleeping in the same bed.
In the same bed, and my parents know. And it just feels like I'm sinning. Like, it feels like something wrong. Like, a boy is literally following me up to my old room, and we're sleeping together in the same bed. That is weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know how I would deal on my wedding day, and my mom and dad are there, and I'm like,
I don't care. The only person I feel like would feel just simple. I was like, when we get married, I'm going in. The only person that might be a bit uncomfortable is my grandma.
Oh,
okay. But like, because she's old school Jamaican, you know, church going, hat wearing kind of vibe. But everyone else could.
Oh my god. Right, yeah. But to be fair, because you don't know how long it took me to get here.
I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, I have seen some kisses that I'm like, okay, really? It's a bit much. I'm like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, okay, you're married. She relax.
There's some where people are like grabbing bombs and stuff. Yeah, come on. I would just hit his hand.
No, that's a lot. No, it reminds me of that time when Daniel Kaluuya had an acceptance speech and he was like, oh, I'm here. My mum and dad had sex. His face was like, what are you doing? Do you know what's so funny about African parents is that
no matter who you are in life, they will always keep you humble.
Yeah, 100%.
Be like, listen, I don't care if you're Hollywood now.
Yeah, I'm so sad. But ladies, we have to wrap it up. It was fun.
We need to have you guys on.
Please let us know where you can, where everyone can find you. Personal accounts. Your podcast, also The Day After. Actually, quickly speak to us about what The Day After is.
The Day After is a daily show. It's a news platform. So it's not really like a podcast, basically. Okay. Yeah. So we have like different segments. We keep you guys abreast of the news, sports, economics, politics. Also like Word on Road, that's my segment. I talk about, you know, celeb stuff and all that, all the gist you want to know about. We also have The Rotation, that's done by Big Man Use. He had a podcast, Meet Us After Seven.
So he does music reviews on that.
Okay. Then Margs, who from No Behaviour, he also does Done Out Here, which is like his Who's with Foodish of the Week kind of thing.
Okay, like Donkey of the Day.
Yeah. So basically, I feel like the platform really is, because not many people watch the news, not many people know stuff like that. And obviously, it's under The New Black as well. And essentially, The New Black is to help Black people be the best that we can be. Do you get me? So one of that ways is Food the Day After, and we let you guys know what's important in society that you need to keep abreast of. And we talk politics, we let you know, like, we talk about so much stuff is outside of what you would usually go and find out.
It's digestible for the audience.
It's digestible. Right? And it's also, I feel like it helps everyone kind of look within to want to be better. Like, for example, just being on there, like, I budget now, because I've been living freestyle. I'm budgeting now. I'm going to start a business soon.
I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
I want to take more of an interest in politics because it's important.
It's important to know.
You catch us every single day.
That's amazing. Every single day.
The Day After is on YouTube, is on all your podcast streaming platforms, and we're live every morning as well. Catch that. But yeah, that's where you can find me every single morning, and also every Monday on No Shade Podcast.
Yep.
And my personal social is at My Own Royalty, as in my own royalty. I feel like I say sometimes too fast with never clock. I'm saying,
you know what? You're a fast talker, and so am I. So people have told me all my life, so I'm like, just keep up. It's not my business. It's a you problem, not a me problem.
Okay, keep up. But
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. Where else can you find me? Yeah, Instagram, Twitter. Aubrey _.
Yep.
And No Shade.
And a food page.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a friend?
Yes, she does. Yeah, she's got a food blog page.
I don't really listen to it, but yeah. Taste of Good Food on Instagram.
Yeah. What's it called?
Toast to Good Food.
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok as well. Ikea_Aubrey_
Yeah. Fun time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. It was fun. Thanks for coming, guys. Yes. No, we'll definitely do a part two at some point.
Back on as if it's my... Because I'm seeing it.
We are in Esther's home right now. That's why. Well, this is her space.
My bum is actually...
Oh, my gosh.
Reaching out to have you guys on our platform, amazing, you guys are full of wisdom. You're very smart women, and I just love the way you guys are very put together, and it's very inspiring. So.
Put together, that's
like a hot mess.
It's what you're giving. I hear it, I appreciate that, thank you, honestly, well done, thank you, and guys make sure you follow No Shade Pod on Twitter and Instagram, right? And they're every week, so very gisty, very banterish. Absolutely love it. You can catch us in 2 weeks. Shade, do you want to do your...
Yes, leave us a 5-star rating if you love this episode on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
See you in 2 weeks, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.